This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network.
The show that wonders where its $180
is. The show that enjoys a nice game of hacky sack from time to time.
The show that is today brought to you by the letter O. The show that follows with complete and thorough prophylaxis.
The show that acts as a social lubricant.
The show that welcomes all voices, disembodied or otherwise.
It's a very different dynamic, this whole sex with a condom thing.
If you stick around long enough, you'll see the abrasiveness begins with the sodomite.
Most conferences that you go to with people in a room sitting in chairs and...
Do they have nudity?
No, unfortunately.
Nudity.
Awesome. The brief synopsis is about a group of about a dozen or so aborted fetuses who come back to life.
It's just that you've mentioned bacon so many times tonight in so many situations where I never thought bacon would
come up.
This is going to be the best podcast ever.
Yeah, what do you know?
It's September 12th. And it's time for us to do another talkie because we haven't done one in a really long time. We are sitting here in the somewhat barren living room of our apartment that won't be our apartment much longer, but we'll talk about that in a later podcast.
Much to talk about with that situation.
We'll probably fill up an entire podcast
now,
with that later. So in the meantime, we have other things to talk about. First of all, our trip to Milledgeville that we took damn near 2 months ago at this point, but we just hadn't gotten around to talking about it yet. But it was a very good trip.
Yes, it was. Indeed. Oh, so you want me to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
Our trip to Milledgeville, it was probably one of the more touristy trips that we've done. Most of the trips we take, we try to see more obscure rural Georgia kind of things. And Milledgeville has a lot of history in the city, and it also has a tourist industry built around that history. We did the standard thing that you do when you go to Milledgeville, which is to take a tour of the old governor's mansion, which was recently restored to the tune of, what, about $10 million, something like that?
Something like that.
I don't remember the exact number, but you can see the money in it because it looked really good inside, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, and even though that stuff is touristy, like, I don't think that's a reason to write it off. I think that stuff's really interesting, all that kind of history stuff. And we also went on a trolley tour. And, I mean, I just think it's interesting to hear about, like, why this house is historic and mm-hmm. what happened in this house. And, like, here's the story about the ghost that haunts this house.
Yeah. What kept coming up was that the kitchens had to be separate from the buildings because the buildings kept burning down.
Right.
Like, the old, I guess it was the old state house, wasn't even mostly an original building. It was a reproduction.
It burned three times. The old Capitol.
It burned down. Yeah, the old Capitol.
There's metaphors in there somewhere.
I'm sure.
About collapsing government, et cetera.
What was, yeah, no doubt. What was the most interesting part to you about the inside of the old governor's mansion?
I think the most interesting thing was just, like, the way that a lot of the kitchen stuff was very ingenious. And in mm-hmm. particular, they had that little area behind the kitchen mm-hmm. that was basically a cold storage area.
Yeah.
And it was something like, I mean, okay, this is my problem. People will explain something, and then I'll remember about half of what they said so that when I try to explain it again, it doesn't make any sense.
It's like a game of telephone.
But basically, it was something like something about the way that they built it structurally, like, you know, and the way it was designed meant that this area was kept at a consistent, like, 64 degrees.
Yeah.
And this was obviously before air conditioning and everything, so they had to have a way to keep meat and stuff cool. And that's just really interesting. And especially because I think, I mean, a lot of people seem to think that, you know, oh, people 100, 200 years ago, they weren't as smart as we are.
Those savages.
Because we have electricity and they didn't know about it and blah, blah, blah. But no, that's not true.
But there was a lot of ingenuity. It was,
yeah.
It was like in one of the kitchen areas where they had a shelf that was lined with iron or something and they had it facing a fireplace so that the heat would get trapped in the shelf to
mm-hmm.
keep the food warm after it was cooked. You know, there was no electric heating for
and that's
that.
Pretty fucking cool because
yeah.
it's also
yeah.
a very sustainable thing if you want to get into like all the hippie like green energy and all that. I mean, it doesn't get much greener than that.
No, not really. And it all worked.
Yeah.
Anything else from the governor's mansion strike you?
No, it was just a really cool place.
The front, the sort of, the I guess, the front area right where people came in, with it feels like linoleum you're walking around on, but it's actually like a tweed kind of thing that's just got all this...
It's the precursor to linoleum.
Whatever it is. I don't remember what it's called, but it's. I thought that was kind of neat.
That was pretty neat.
Yeah. So,
we're nerds for that kind of stuff.
Oh, you know, what else did we do in Milledgeville? We went to Central State Hospital.
We did, and we talked a little bit about it in vague terms on the Anderson Scott interview podcast, mm-hmm. but if you didn't listen to that, then you don't know. So, quick little history lesson. Central State Hospital was opened in 1832, but I need to check the exact date. But when it was opened, it was called the Georgia Lunatic Asylum, because that's how they named things back then. And it's still open. It's been open this whole time. All the old original buildings are still there, though they're not all still in use. But over the years, like when it was started, it was started with this very good intentions and the idea of care for the mentally ill being basically like being at home and being very, I don't know, not palliative, that's not the word, but just very humanitarian mm-hmm. and treating people like people, which at the time was a really revolutionary concept
that's
because...
pretty radical.
I mean, you know, like... mental illness is still facing stigma today, much less, you know, like what it faced back then. But anyway, over the years, things degenerated, and there were many suspicious deaths there. And, oh, also, it just happens to be built on top of an old Indian burial ground.
Of course it is.
Right.
It's like every horror movie stereotype.
This is clearly the most haunted place that could ever possibly be. Mm-hmm. And plenty of ghost hunters have been there and urban explorers and everything.
Some got arrested the week before or the week after we were there.
The week after we were there. We tried to contact them, but no luck.
Maybe I should call them again.
But anyway, so we went there and we did not get out of the car because the place is very creepy. It's also really huge. I mean, it's the size of a medium-sized college campus or a small town. Yeah. I mean, it has its own police department and everything.
Yeah.
But it was just very creepy, and the thing that struck me the most was that even though there were people there, you know, there are buildings that are vacant, but there are buildings that are still in use.
There was a very dead feeling.
Just the whole place felt dead and deserted.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that it was rainy and overcast that day either, but it was just creepy, and I took this one picture that has an orb in it, like no orb I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
I mean, orbs are dust on the lens, but this one looks different.
We blew it up in iPhoto, and shit you not, it looked like a face.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Yeah, maybe we should, we'll probably
we'll link to
a
that.
Photo of that. All right, so moving along, actually, we've got one more thing. No, we don't, not for Milledgeville. We've got your Pulse Saga.
You want to start?
Oh, God. I mean, where to begin with this thing? Well, maybe you should start because you did the ordering, and then we'll progress to my work on it.
I'm going to give the condensed version because it would take all night to tell everything about this.
It would be
this.
An entire podcast.
I also blogged about it. But basically, we spent a couple of months trying to get the pole that I ordered from Platinum Stages to work, and we never got it to work. Basically, the thing is just jacked up. It's
just defective.
Yeah, they never should have sold us this type of pole because for the height of our ceilings, it's not safe and it's just not going to work. And they won't do anything about it. So we're pretty much out $500. But I know that, you know, I hope to at least spread the word about them. I know that already one guy has commented on my blog and said that, well, now that he's read all this, he's not going to buy from them.
Yeah.
And
we know of other business they might lose to, but we probably shouldn't mention it specifically.
Right. But I mean, my post is pretty high in Google, and I'm writing a letter to them. I sent it to Consumerist. I mean, I don't know. I just want to do all I can to just let people know how shitty their customer service was, how mm-hmm. they just treated us like crap
yeah.
and sold us a product that they never should have sold in the first place and seemed to just completely not care about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got so angry on the phone with this guy. It's been a long, long time since I really just lost my temper with somebody. And, I was red in the face, throw the phone across the room angry. Haven't been that way in a while.
And it was just like their solutions, they didn't have any solutions. Like they kept saying multiple times that when we would talk to them, call them, explain in great detail what all we had done and what was happening. And they would say, that shouldn't happen. And we're like, yeah, we know it shouldn't happen. That's why we're calling you.
Exactly. I mean, why do you think we're calling on
the So let's move on to making that not happen anymore. Yeah.
And everything they suggested just suggests design defects to me. For example, our biggest problem with the pole, I mean, we had myriad problems with the pole, but it was spinning within the base in a way it wasn't supposed to be spinning. And what the guy told me on the phone is that the top end cap doesn't sit tight enough on a brass pole because the end caps are just used generally on both what the aluminum and the brass poles. And so since the material is slightly thinner on the brass, that it's a looser fit.
So why did they sell it to us?
So why did they sell it to us? Why not sell us an end cap that'll actually fucking fit for one thing? And his solution, if you want to call it that, was to wrap a little masking tape around the cap and then stuff it in. That's pathetic.
Yeah.
That is pathetic. You're not going to tell me with a brand new goddamn pole that we're supposed to do what amounts to a hack.
Well, that'll be in my letter, and hopefully something will come of it, even if it's just the satisfaction of knowing that they're losing business.
Yeah, we already know we've cost them some business, so at least, they might take our money, but they're going to lose a lot more. So
yeah.
We know that at least.
Well, on a happier pole-related note, mm-hmm. I did graduate from level 4 pole dancing a few weeks ago, and I am now in level 5, which officially is the highest level, although I think they're going to create a level 6, just because those of us who have come this far are very dedicated, and we're not going to stop, and, you know, why stop taking our money if we're giving it out?
Well, level 5 is like the black belt of pole dancing, right?
Yeah.
So what does level 6 become? Noir?
It's whatever you want it to be. And I will eventually be going to an amateur night somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when yet. I don't know where yet.
We did go to one just to watch. We went to Mardi Gras, which is just outside. Actually, I guess it's technically inside the perimeter. It's like right on the edge there. But the one thing I noticed about that amateur night at Mardi Gras was that the stage was way too small, and that they had situated the pole on the stage all the way on the edge, and it looked really dangerous.
It did look dangerous. And the reason that we went that night was because a girl who's in level 3 was competing in amateur night that night. So we went to kind of support her. And it really was. The stage was very tiny. It was a side stage. I mean, they didn't put the amateur competition up on the main stage. And the pole was right on the edge. The pole was also one of those ones that isn't connected to anything at the top, so like it's not mounted to the ceiling. And later I was talking, like a couple days ago after class, I was talking to another girl in my class who said she informed us that she's been to like 3 different amateur nights.
Yeah.
We didn't know about this. She just
went. You should have told us.
I know. We were like, why didn't you tell us you were doing that? But she said she went to Mardi Gras and did amateur night there, and she couldn't really go upside down or climb or anything because when she would, like, she was taller than the pole because it's pretty short. So anyway, I mean, the girl who was in level 3 who was doing amateur night did awesome. She mm-hmm. did a great job. She really made the most of that confining space.
Yeah.
And I felt all motivated and inspired that night. I was all pumped up. I was like, yeah, I can do this. I should totally do this. But now I think I'm losing my nerve again.
No, you'll do great.
But eventually, I will go somewhere, and I'll let everybody know.
Well, there are worse things than getting to tour strip clubs, so we're going to go to several of them to find out which one has the best amateur night.
FYI, the Pink Pony does not have amateur night.
Fucking Pink Pony.
Too big for their britches.
Well, you know, I don't have fun when I go to the Pink Pony. It's the only thing worth dealing with there. I mean, if you're not walking in with a bankroll of, like, thousands of dollars, then, you know, the strippers there don't give a shit about you, which, I mean, I guess I understand. I mean, it's a business.
They are trying
to make money, but that, you know, means I'm not going to have fun when I go there because I'm not going to spend thousands of dollars at a strip club. I'm sorry.
There are a couple of dancers there who are really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And so it's good if you want to see good pole dancing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I will let people know whenever I go to amateur night,
yeah,
and you should come and tip me.
Exactly.
So the next item on our list is swingers clubs. We did one podcast a while ago reviewing two swingers clubs that we went to, and we found out there are two more.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be doing a follow-up podcast. One of them is Club Too Risqué, which closed in May, but it's reopening in October. And a new facility, a bigger facility. And so they're having a grand opening 4 days before my birthday, which seems like an appropriate time to go.
Yeah.
And there's also another club that I just found out about called Little Wings, which I hate that name.
Yeah.
I just hate that name. And I think that it's the one that I went to like 5 or 6 years ago because it said it was formerly Velvet Heaven and changed ownership and everything. So we'll have another sex club podcast for you.
Yeah. That'll be fun. All right. So one other thing that I did recently is I gave a presentation about podcasting to the Drupal Atlanta users group. And that was a fun experience. I like doing those presentations. And I liked that I got to do a screencast of it and put a video together of it. It's actually up on the website right now, and I can link to it for you. I don't know really what else I have to say about that. I think it's really neat the way that just very slowly there's kind of a little Drupal community popping up around here. I wish the damn meetings weren't in Alpharetta because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it was long. But you did a great job.
Well, thank you. I think the reason it went pretty well is because I tried to keep people on topic.
Yeah.
And it's very easy in those situations for folks who are sort of on the lower end of the learning curve, because you're dealing with a wide variety of experience levels when you give one of these things. And they'll want to know about everything, and there's only so much that you can talk about in a given session before it just goes totally off topic and loses focus. And you have to kind of nip that while it's a bud.
Well, you talk about Barcamp, and I'll go see if we have any Twitter questions.
Yes, good idea. Barcamp Atlanta. It's Jeff Haney's event. When's that taking place? October
13th.
October 12th and 13th. I've never been to a Barcamp, but we did help organize PodCamp, which was an unconference because we let the session we let the participants organize the sessions. But the difference between what's going to go on at Barcamp is Jeff is going hardcore with this thing, and it's going to follow the unconference model to a T, and there are no pre-organized sessions. It's all going to be people who just come in, and there's going to be some sheets of paper up on the wall, and they're just going to write down what they want to talk about, and then they're just going to go do it.
I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And he said it 6 p.m. Friday night to 6 p.m. the next day. And I don't know if he was joking or not, but I think that's pretty awesome to, like, do an all-nighter like that.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by it because I'm really not sure how the hell it's going to work and what's expected out of the folks who attend. I mean,
it'll be like at SoCon. You know, in the afternoon at SoCon, they did that. They put up the pieces of paper on the wall and people wrote down what they wanted to go to.
Yeah, and that was cool. That was interesting. But you know, they didn't. They wrote down as in like what session they wanted to attend. But I think the difference here is that with Barcamp, they're going to write down what the sessions actually are.
Yeah, they are.
It's, you know, because at SoCon, all the sessions were prearranged.
Yeah, I don't know how far in advance they were prearranged, but I guess they were prearranged more, like,
earlier than just the day of.
Yeah.
So we do have just one very open-ended Twitter question from Jen. Mm-hmm. She would like to know, and it was addressed to you specifically, mm-hmm. Innies versus Audis thoughts?
Innies versus Audis thoughts. Why was it addressed specifically to me?
Because it was at Rusty Tanton.
Oh, okay. Innies versus Audis. Wow, that's a tough one. I don't really have any thoughts. I mean, I'm kind of agnostic about Innies versus Audis.
Me too. I mean, I would say that I prefer Innies, but then is that just because that's the status quo and the majority and that's what I've been told I should prefer?
Yeah, I think so. Because I don't really think a belly button is really a thing of beauty regardless.
They can be, I guess. Yeah, so we're very agnostic on Innies versus Audis. That's our reply to that. Now, you know what? I almost forgot to talk about sex, wine, and chocolate, and it was way up here at the top.
Yeah.
So I'll just talk about it at the end. Sex, wine, and chocolate is a thing coming up on October 18th. I've been doing some volunteer work and stuff with Georgians for Choice, who recently changed their name to Spark, but for now they're still Georgians for Choice. And there is this fundraiser on October 18th at the Solarium in Oakhurst, which is in Decatur, and it's called Sex, Wine, and Chocolate. And it's a, let me see if I can remember the tagline, a sex-positive cabaret fundraiser for Georgians for Choice and Generation 5. It's another organization that they're working with. And so the goal is to raise $10,000 that night. And I think it can be done. And it's going to be fun. I think it's good because, like, a lot of times it seems like nonprofit stuff and fundraisers and everything, it's just so boring and solemn and dour and everybody's so serious. And, oh, we might have a silent auction. Oh, isn't that exciting? Let me fall asleep now. But this is going to be way more fun.
Is the Cracker Boy coming? Yeah.
It's going to be – we're going to have – there's going to be burlesque, there's going to be a drag show, there's going to be Dr. Sketchies, which we interviewed them a few months ago. They'll be there. There might be pole dancing. There might be a fashion show. Those aren't confirmed yet, but they're pretty good maybes. There will be a lot of prizes. We have prize drawings, and there'll be things like...
Not raffles.
No, and Mia keeps using the word raffle, and I keep telling her, no, it's
that's
a prize
illegal.
Drawing.
Breaking the law.
But it'll be stuff like you can win a trip for two to St. Croix. I mean, that's a pretty damn serious prize.
Yeah.
And a lot of other stuff. And it'll be obviously wine and chocolate and like condoms and dental dams and stuff. Like people who are dressed like cigarette girls walking around but with safer sex supplies in their little tray instead of cigarettes. And it's just going to be a night of debauchery and fun. So you should come. It's on Upcoming and Eventful and Facebook and MySpace and everything. If you Google it, you'll find it. But I will recite the URL where you can buy tickets just in case you're too lazy to Google. SWC.eventbrite.com is where you can buy tickets.
Cool.
So that's that. That's my little pitch.
Very good.
And I think we're done.
Cool.
All right, so that does it for this talkie, and please call and leave us voicemail.
Yes.
Goodbye.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.